business part of SIG, the Foundation for Integral Healthcare.
Yes.
At the moment, I am aware that I'm limited in what I can do, also by my mentality and also by the cultural philosophy of money. One of the reasons that I wrote the text on four-dimensional realization was that I had to understand why there are so many problems in humanity, and specifically in the Western culture, that essentially all of those problems emerge from the way that over thousands of years laws have been created which are, let's say, illegal, and that money has been created which is, let's say, worthless. There are four types of law. This cosmic law, which is based on the principles of universal creation. There's natural law, which has to do with all of the principles of what happens on Earth, of the earthly manifestations. There's also a law of circulation, which includes the circulation of water, air, food, and information. And there are laws of territory, also known as law of land, which is that every individual being has its needs and needs to have that catered to in one way or another, so that it can live and survive and thrive. And as it's seen, for many life forms, their life is conditional on the circumstances that they live in. So it is important that living beings are able to cater to their needs by being able to develop their autonomy and their own sovereign being. And that development normally takes place by going from baby to child to adolescent to adult, where the child is fully dependent. The baby is fully dependent. Then the child becomes self-standing and can do things by itself but cannot take care of itself yet. As a puber, the autonomy comes in that they can care for themselves but still need to learn to care for others and for their environment. And then as an adult, they become sovereign, that they can actually care for their environment and for others. And at the moment we have some difficulties because in the Western world laws have been created and financial laws have been created which impede the development of autonomy of individuals in society. So normally you would have a culture in which everybody has their own piece of land so that they can grow whatever they need to grow to live on, or they could collectively say that these are the fields where we have the things that grow that we can live on, and so that in that sense there would always be a balance between the amount of people and the amount of land that is available to feed them. And as is, the planet is still large enough to feed many more people than are here now. It's just one condition that people need to stop eating meat. At the moment that they are vegetarian, then the land that they now use for herding and grazing cattle is reduced immensely, so the animals can live free and have their own life. And people will find that they have much more food available, much more plant protein, which is better for the body anyhow than what is available now. So in that sense, you can then say that people will need to have their own piece of land to produce their own food, to produce the materials from which they can buy, build shelter and housing. And that they know that all of them have the same needs, so that they can help each other build houses and that they can help each other care for the vegetable garden from which they live. At the moment, this is not what's happening. At the moment that people grow up, they live in dependence as a baby, then as children they are given some pocket money, and then as adolescents they are told that they can have little chores to earn a bit of money, and then as adults they find that they are actually living their whole life to earn money, and that earning money has become their main business. But when you look at what money is, then you can see that money is owned by private banks. And there is an excellent book called They Own It All, Including You, written by a medical doctor who realized that money is one of the problems in healthcare, but also realizing that money is a hidden contract in which people are put in debt in such a way that it can never resolve it. So that the money system that exists now is actually a system of imposed and forced slavery for people. There is no way out as long as they use bank money. So I looked into that and came up with this whole series of texts about money, the cause of it, the nature of it, and the possibility to resolve it, which is very simple, that if people declare their intent of what they wish to do and then communicate with each other how they can help each other, then they can together produce what they wish to do, and the outcome will be new products which add value to all of their lives. So this is then the foundation of the principle of the World Bank, which I call the Earth Bank, which is founded on the principle of the seed bank, that we need to share the seeds to be able to grow plants everywhere. And so the Earth Bank is founded on the principle that people will need to declare what they want to do. So that's their self-worth. And then they communicate with each other and see how they can help each other. That is the added value. And then they can work together in rings. Those are rings of value or circulation or currencies. And then out of that come products, which are the profits, because they benefit everybody. So you actually don't need money to do this, because people will have an intent. They will freely collaborate with each other. They will use available body material and available earth materials to produce the products. And then outcomes is abundance. So Earth Bank, in that sense, describes or proposes a money-free society based on mutual collaboration, on respectfully using earth resources for the betterment of earth, the betterment of humanity, the better of all life forms, and the betterment of the individuals, in that order. So that the individual benefit is at the end, and the planetary benefit is at the start. And so very often it is called people profit planet, or profit people planet, and I turn it around, have a planet product people profit and a profit as what is beneficent for everybody. So as a result of the difficulties I see with the financial system, money system as it exists at the moment, which is a system of slavery, independence, as a system of slavery, it is no different than what happened before. It's just called by a different name. People are less aware of it because it is more pernicious, more hidden, and it's more connected to their belief systems, because it's also connected to their survival. But of course, the whole money system will explode overnight if people realize how money is made, which is basically somebody gets a printing press, prints out little chits with different colors and gives a different meaning, and then hand that out to people. Say, well, for this, it's that kind of chit with that kind of color. For that, you use the other chits with the other colors. Actually, they used that in the past, and they reduced that to the system of banknotes. Banknotes is just scrap metal, scrap paper. So there's no inherent value in that. So then you can see that the only value of money is that it is a form of tacit agreement, but that agreement is actually based on specific contracts. And then you can see that the way to heal the problem of money is to realize that the contract is public, that anybody can know how you make money, and that you can negotiate the value of money so that you go back to local currencies, and out of local currencies you get an interconnected currencies, and you get them large-scale currencies, but all of them based on the principle of productivity and abundance of the individual sharing life with others. And that's where you then get rid of this whole parasitical process of money, which is well described in the documentary The Corporation, representing the book called The Corporation, Joel Bakken. And so then people can step out of that slavery. So as long as this is still taking place, I have some difficulty working with money and interacting with money, for the simple reason that it is like buying into hell. This metaphor is quite literal, because the book Faustus is about the banker system. And so the money system is a Babylonian hell system in which people are kept in slavery. And I assume that the people originally had good intent, and assume that they might still have that, but by the results that we see, wars, starvation, disease, poverty, it is evident that this system doesn't work, and it intentionally does not work. It is very easy to turn that all around by having people have their own land, produce their own product, sharing it with others, and as a result living in abundance. And there is something amazing about the difference between a culture of greed and a culture of abundance, because a culture of greed will continue to collapse on itself, while a culture of abundance will continue to unfold and develop and go through different transformations in an ongoing succession. So when I realized that money is a problem in general, and money is a problem in healthcare, I sought the solutions. The solution which I found for money is called the 2D reality of money. Basically, it's a belief system, and that is published in purgatory.planticparadise.org, part of a series of four papers. So one deals with freedom of choice, one deals with money, one deals with laws, and one deals with the reality that we live in. So in our society as a whole, we have this, let's say, endemic disease of this superstition called money, which operates like a drug to keep people entranced and enslaved. It's literally a drug addiction. But as a result, it's a junkie society. They cannot develop. Just like junkies are always busy to get their fix, all of the people in the society are busy to get their money. And the problem with money is that people will do things and also not do things for money, as a result of which they are puppeteered via money by others. And money in itself is a pernicious kind of drug, because the drug use is connected to the withholding of the drug. Money is at the same time a reward and a punishment, because money allows you to buy food for the simple reason that the governments, which are a conspiracy with the bankers at this level, have taken away the free land for everybody living in their country. In a natural country, a natural government would grant that everybody has free access to the earth and can grow their own things. But in an unnatural country with an unnatural government, you would have an unnatural situation that people do not have free access to the earth and cannot grow their own food, and thus are like animals in a cage. They are dependent on the food that is thrown into their cage. But in this case, like hamsters in a hamster cage, they need to tread the treadmill in order to get the money thrown in. And if they don't tread the treadmill fast enough or do something else not enough, then the money is not thrown in. So giving money is the reward, withholding money is the punishment, which is the same as was done in the past. By giving the slave food as reward and withholding food as a punishment. And I do realize that slavery supposedly ended about a century ago. Actually, it was said to have ended half a century ago. But if you look at the information that is available, then you can see that slavery has not ended at all. There are even in big cities like London, Paris, New York, people who live in slavery, and they're being bought and sold by agencies, and those people look for a job, and then they enter into a household where the passport is taken away, and they keep on doing the jobs, hardly able to leave, and no assurance that they get paid, and often all kind of abuse are possible in that situation. Slavery. So those forms of physical slavery are well known, less well known, less well understood, but still as prevalent is the slavery taking place of people working in corporations. And I do realize that, as the book The Corporation explains, a corporation is a new word for a slave plantation. So the people in the slave plantation, they get their food thrown over the edge of the fence by the money that they're paid in their monthly agreement contract. But the company as a whole can be bought and sold. So even though it is said that the people cannot be bought and sold, that's not actually the case, because the company as a whole can be bought and sold. Which is a proof that you're still dealing with the slavery. But at the larger level, as I mentioned before, the slavery exists in the fact that there is bank money which is in private hands, which people cannot control, they cannot create, and by law they are required to use that bank money for the payment of their debts to the state. And in fact, people cannot have a debt to a state because a state is a fictional entity, and people cannot have a debt to the state because the state does not grant them anything other than what people already have by nature. So the state cannot grant them anything else than what nature and the universe provides. So a state who says that it grants privileges and grants rights and such is basically like a priest who say that he is the passageway between you and God, and as a result blocks your way between you and God, which exists within yourself. So when a state operates as a corporation, which most states nowadays are, they are in fact not state but a corporation, and thus work in the interest of money, as it is defined by the principle of the corporation, the definition of the corporation. So that means that the corporation works for the bank, so that on top of the states you no longer have the Pope, but you have the bank. And of course it is dubious if that's any different, because as Maxwell Jordan said, the Vatican has been created by six Roman banker families. So if the banker families now control the money and thereby control the state, it's still the same concept. But at the moment that a government then demands that people use money for the transaction with the state, but the state does not provide that money, and the state does not create that money. Actually, the American Constitution was the only place at that time where the state was sovereign and can produce its own money. And the American Civil War was actually part of the process to take that away from the American government system and the American state, so that since the American government do not produce their own money anymore. So even though the American Constitution says that gold and silver are the legal tender, and that the silver dollar or the gold dollar would be the state money, actually if in America you don't write on the check that you pay into the bank that it has to be paid in as legal tender of the state, the bank deposits it as Federal Reserve notes, which are part of the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private company which prints the dollar notes that the Americans use, which is actually a foreign country. There's a whole story in that. So it means that in America and other countries where people cannot create their own money, those people are not sovereign. And actually the word sovereign is associated with the capacity to make your own money. And that's why the coin was also called a sovereign. And in Roman times, sovereignty was also based on who made the money. And for example, there was a sultan, was called a sultan at that time, from the Turkish area. There was a vassal to Rome and paid his taxes to Rome for what's called protection. In the mafia, that would be called protection money too. And so this guy then decided that he was going to pay the amount of coin and the amount of gold that was required, but he minted it with his own picture on it. So I forgot if he was executed or dethroned, but the whole notion that he would put his face on the money and thereby prove that he was a sovereign was not what the Romans wanted. And actually the Bello Iudorum, the war against the Jews, was all about that too, because the Judean tribe did not accept coins with the image of somebody on there, claiming that that somebody would be a sovereign instead of the realization that everybody is a sovereign. So there's a lot of relationship between wars and money and sovereignty and slavery. So while this conflict is still sort of living on Earth, for the simple reason that people choose to not question what money is and choose to not collaborate with each other to create their own local money, and not choose to collaborate together to form their own government, and then as a result people will still live in slavery, as has been described in this book of Faustus. And so this being the case, I realized for the Sikh Foundation that I might have some difficulty dealing with this environment if I interact with it at the money level, for the simple reason that you cannot interact with the money tribe without going down to their level and essentially signing up for slavery. So I decided to stay out of the money business with the foundation, even though the foundation is set up so that everything that it develops and every social activity that it engenders and every product that can develop out of the collaboration between these people will be shareable with other people. And as I mentioned before, essentially you always have four levels of development of what you do with people. You start with an ideal, you work with others, you collaborate, you have a product. At the level of the foundation you have the ideal, at the association you interact with others, at the level cooperative you work together with others, and at the level business you share the results. So as I still have a lot of work to do to explain how healing works and how healing is different from repair, then I decided to not go into the money productivity or production. All of the work that I do is pro deo and pro bono. So I give it away for free. I do have difficulties to meet end meets now and then, but I have a couple of sponsors as a result of which I can live, as a result of which I have a website, and I even have the money to pay for the existence of the foundation. So I, in that sense, live in a little money prison. You cannot get rid of that as long as money is still existing as it does. But paradoxically, that is actually the dynamic of how cells operate in our body. The place of having freedom of choice is in the unique individual cell, because in the individual cell, the decision can be taken to flip a quantum. As a result, the polarity of the boundary is reversed, as a result of which an attraction reverts into a rejection, or the other way around, as a result of which identification turns into a separation, or the reverse. So that happens within the cell. But the only way that you can have that freedom of choice within the cell is by, say, ignoring everything else around you for that moment. So that in that cell, the holder or the grail of pivot of freedom of choice is also a little hell. And hell is from the old English word helling off, to separate, to isolate, to take away from, to set apart. Like in the French, enfermé, to seal off, to isolate, to set apart. So in French, the word for hell is enfer, from enfermé. And in English, the word for enfer is helle. So it is a closed off system, a closed system, and within that closed system you have full freedom of choice. It's always relative to the environment, but so the paradox lies therein that you can only have freedom of choice if at that time you're free from all other influences, so that you can only have your own influencing, your own choice, being the active operative agent in what you do. So the foundation zich for me is at the moment that kind of little cell, a little niche, little enclave in which I can totally independently develop this whole understanding of integral healthcare. And yes, it is set up that at some point there will be an interactive website, and I hope that I can get some help to set it up at some time. And essentially it only needs somebody who can set up, say, a Drupal system to encompass all of the websites that I have now. And once that is there, everybody can join in, so that the whole world can participate in this project and produce their product. And then out of that comes a new kind of society, because these people will be able to help each other, and then can by themselves also realize that they will need to create their own systems of government which work in the same way as we see that working in our body organs, and that they will need to set up their own banking system the same way as we can see that in the energy system within our body. And as a result, they become autonomous and sovereign. So as long as I'm still plodding on getting the understanding of integral healthcare in place, and there's so many different aspects that it keeps me quite well busy, I don't much have time to at the same time work on this website development, which is actually needed to make it a platform so that others can use it too, and so that others can put their vision in as well, which of course will require some gardening and some healthcare for that system, because of course there are imposters and there are pretenders and there's false flag agents who will pretend that they participate, but they're actually out to destroy it, trying to be the virus in the system. So for the building of the website, the information of the website is needed so that the website can do its own self-care and its own healthcare checks, so that abuse is not possible. So I cannot do that at the moment, so that at the moment I'm simply describing what the principles are and how in working those principles, understanding those principles, you'll be able to work them, and then you can connect to others, and then that can build up. So those are the two reasons why I'm not much doing with the business of what's possible with zich. And evidently there is enormous value in what there is, and it is highly marketable already as it is. It is immensely cost saving, because 80% of the healthcare cost can sort of disappear overnight. actually it'll take a generation to give the full benefits of it, because people need to actually learn to live differently. So the benefits are enormous, also in terms of money, but one of the most important conclusions of the whole project is that money is not a measure of value. Paper money, scrap metal, scrap paper, it doesn't have any value as such. The legal contract of money is a contract of indebtedness, is slavery, so that's definitely not healthy, because it's a denial of freedom of choice. It's actually criminal. So a lot will need to be developed. So for that reason, I am developing things separately. But yes, I do welcome help. So that I hope at some point people will connect up to this project, and that there will be people who will carry out the ideal because they recognize it from what they are doing already. And I hope that there are people who recognize the principles and put them in action, because in a way they are doing that already, but now simply they can see how they can connect up. And that there are people who see how many benefits and how much profit this approach gives, because they can experience in their own body, and they can experience that within their own society. So that essentially is the full prospect of the SIGH Foundation. Covers the whole educational aspect, the whole productivity aspect, and the whole marketable business aspect. But as yet, with what I can do by myself, I don't have much time for that, because intriguingly, every time I think I can go into a level of, this is a wonderful thing for education, let's do that, or this is something to do with classes and courses and training, and let's do that, I have already discovered another level of understanding which needs exploration, and which also in a way requires so much attention that basically I don't have time, and I need to be in kind of state of meditation. I need to have a continuous focus on what I'm looking at to be able to find out how I can formulate it, so that I can actually show how it works. And that's also why it took a lot of time to solve this drug addiction of this superstition called money, and why it took a time to realize why repair medicine is different from healing, healthcare, because we need to account for freedom of choice. So I need to describe what that is and how it works, and I'm only at one quarter of that way to describing the fullness of it. So in that sense, I'm quite busy. And in a way, I discovered that I need to keep on plowing at the deep end of harvesting the ideas from the ideals, and that the level of communication education as I can now do it is essentially that I freely publish it on the internet. So most of my findings, like our conversation now, are on the internet same day, so people have immediate access to it. Of course, they need to know that where they can find it, because in many cases I will not take the time to set up the road signs that something has been put up now. At the moment that the interactive website is there, that will be there as an automatic part of having that website. So I do hope that at some point I will get some help to set up that interactive website. And then out of that, yes, there might be invitations to come and talk here and there, and of courses here and there. But I don't have the time to go out and hunt for that at the moment, for the simple reason that it is actually still quite a bit of work to find the people who are into it. The people who are out doing things often have their own agenda, and are often still money-based, so their agenda is very often aimed to producing more money. And in my approach, when people do something for money, I can't really consider them to be serious. And that sounds a bit derogatory, but I have had many experiences with many types of healthcare projects which all collapsed because at the end people pinned it down on money instead of the interest of the people involved. Instead of inviting the people to set it up, instead of having the people work together to create it, they at some point said, well, this is where the money needs to come in, and now things need to be paid, or I want to be paid. And I have a whole interesting series of projects which all collapsed because of that short circuit collapse of the project at the moment that it was connected to money and ceased to exist. So that's where I'm patient, continue to harvest all these nuggets, all these pearls, and all these wonders that I can find at a deeper level of understanding. And I trust that at some point a website will be there which give other people access to it, and which in its way will help to provide the healing of humanity, and at that same time also thereby create that kind of trust and collaboration between people, that people know how they can rely upon each other, which will replace the construct of legal laws by a different kind of contract negotiation with clarity on the validity of such contracts, and also with the kind of appreciation that people give each other and the support that they give each other, which will come instead of the drug of the superstition of money. So I simply continue creating all of the many products that I can harvest. I make them freely available. I hope that at some point there will be the website that I imagine to put it all together, so that after that it will be a catalytic kind of platform for the connection between people and the self-healing of people. And that's also why that part of the foundation, that activity of the foundation, is called Planting Paradise, because that's simply the description of what the whole project is about.